So I want to discuss Nissan. We just finished Purim, so we're not ready for Nissan yet, but it's coming up really soon. And Pesach's month from Purim, so there's no breaks. You know, we go straight from Purim into Pesach. You know, no time to breathe. So I want to discuss my ideas about the month of Nissan, and then discuss my ideas of Pesach in general. Next week, Baruch Hashem, we'll talk more about the Haggadah and about the Seder. But this week is more of a general topic. The very first month of the year is Nissan. The very first mitzvah given to the Jews as a people was to make Rosh Chodesh. So obviously Rosh Chodesh, we know, is a very important part of Klal Yisrael. We're compared to the moon. In many, many ways, the one concept is that Hashem is compared to the sun. The moon's a reflection of the sun, so we're a reflection of Hashem. Jews are supposed to reflect back Hashem's light. That's one idea. The moon waxes and wanes. Klal Yisrael has its ups and downs. There's a lot of comparisons. But the very first mitzvah given to us is to make Rosh Chodesh. And that mitzvah is worded, Chodesh Zelchem Rosh Chodashim, that the very first month of the year should be Nisan. It's the first mitzvah we received as Jews, that we should count our months from Nisan. The Ramban actually says that, in the Torah, when it mentions months, isn't given, there's no names. I mean, it says the first month, second month, third month. That count is from Nisan. And the Ramban says that every time you count your months by those numbers, you fulfill a mitzvah of making Nisan the first month. He says similarly, the way that, in Hebrew, you don't have names for days of the week. Monday is Yom Sheni, because you're always counting around Shabbos. And the Ramban says as well, that every time you say Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, you're actually doing the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos. It's the same concept. So when you count your months, Yom Rishon, Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni, Chodesh Shlishi, you're doing that, you're counting from Nisan, you're fulfilling a mitzvah to remember Nisan as the first month. So the first question is, why is Nisan so special? Why did Hashem choose Nisan as the very first month? That's the first question. So the obvious answer would be, it's Mitzrayim. We became a people in Nisan. Hashem chose us to be his people in Nisan. So that's a very important month for us. It becomes the first month. I want to share with you an Or HaChaim, which should be in the handout. If I can find it in my papers over here. And he gives a few different ideas of why Nisan is considered Rosh Chodashim, the first month. The most significant of months. I should have it here somewhere, but here it is. Okay. All right. Chodesh Zelchem. So if you look at this, the first page of this handout, bottom left, it's the Or HaChaim, and he's writing on the pasuk of a Chodesh Zelchem Rosh Chodashim, that this month is the head of all months. This is the head of all months. So Or HaChaim writes, Tam Kafel Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu. The Pasuk actually doubles the language. The Pasuk says it's Rosh Chodashim, and then it says Rishon Hu Lachem. So it says it twice. What's the emphasis that Nisan is the Rishon Hu Lachem, it's Rosh Chodashim? What's that emphasis? This Kavan Lomar, it means to say, Ki Chodesh Zehu Rosh, Perush Mufchar Shem Chodashim. So Rosh means head, it means first, but also means choice. Select, the most important of all. Alderich Omra Besamim Rosh talks about the spices used in the Shemen Mishkal, the anointing oil, as their Besamim Rosh. They are the best of all spices. So Rosh could also mean not just the head, but the most significant. So Nisan is Rosh Chodesh, not only is it the head of the month, the first one, but it's also the most significant of months. Ki eno meshubach v'dikol malachem, it says lachem, ki eno meshubach v'ula shebachadashim el Yisrael. The reason it says Rishon Lachem, that it's the most important for you, where I'm from down in Georgia, then say for y'all, Lachem, that's what they would say. But it's most important for all of you. V'timsa she'amru Chazal, this is what Chazal teach us, v'nisa nigalu, v'nisa sin ligoil. It says that in Nisan we were redeemed, and in Nisan we will be redeemed in the future as well. In the times of the future redemption, there will be some major events happening in Nisan. Ke'chodesh mesuyam l'tovas Yisrael, because Nisan is designated to be a month of goodness for Klal Yisrael. Valzeh Rishon Hu, Royal Yos Lachem Shimonim Minisam Samalasa. So we count from Nisan because of its great significance. So in short, Nisan for us is so significant because we became a nation in Nisan. It's our birthday, it's our Independence Day as a people, so we count from that. And it's very similar, we all count our ages from our birthdays. So we count the months from Nisan, which is our birthday month. That's when we became a people. That's Nisan. That's the first point he makes. Next point he says is a different point. Od yirmos be'omro chodesh hazeh v'omro chodesh zeh. The wording of the pasuk is a hachodesh hazeh. It could have said chodesh zeh. Why say with hazeh, with the hey? Lirmoz al hayadua shu hakadosh baruch hu. So the word hazeh, very often in Chazal's wording, has a reference to Hashem. Hazeh, this, references Hashem. And where does that come from? It comes from Dichziv Zeh Keli. It says, and we say this in Shira Sayyam and Az Yashir, Zeh Keli, this is Hashem, Ve'anvehu, and I will glorify him. So there is a concept of Zeh Keli, and the word Zeh refers to Hashem. I want to explain that for a second. The Chazal teach us that what they saw at the Yam Suf was a greater revelation than even the greatest of prophets ever had. Rav Shifcha al-Yam, the maidservant at the sea, saw Mashal Rav Yecheskel Mabuzi. He saw something even Yecheskel didn't see. Yecheskel saw the greatest vision of all the Nevi'im. Yecheskel saw the Maaseh Merkabah. He saw Hashem's heavenly throne and all the angels around Hashem's throne. And Chazal teach us that even the Shifcha, the lowly maidservant at the sea, saw something greater than Yecheskel. And at the sea, they are able to pronounce Zeh Kehu, this is my God. And the word Zeh, at every seat in the Chumash, it always means that you can point at something. It's right there in front of me. It indicates there's something here to look at. That's what it always means. And Rashi, almost always in Chumash, whenever the word Hazeh is used, Rashi will tell you what are you pointing at exactly. So this is, for instance, you know, we're looking here at HaChurush Hazeh Lachem. This month shall be Firush Chadashim. So Rashi says, Herehu Levana, that Hashem showed Moshe the new moon. Hazeh, this one over here. And when the word Hazeh refers to Hashem, it's referring to some gilui, some revelation of Hashem that we can actually perceive, we can actually see in some way. At the Yam Suf, they perceived Hashem to some degree, some incredible degree. They perceived Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's presence, His miracles were perceived there. They could say, Zeh, can they get point? Say, this is my God. We can see Hashem's actions right here in front of us. That's they could do. So he says, Achodesh Hazeh, Giyeh Zeh Lachem Shegal Lahem Ke'omram, Raza Shifcha Ala Yam Lechule. So Hazeh is a reference that this is the month of Hazeh. This is the month of Hashem's revelation. We know that Nisan is the month where Hashem revealed Himself to the world. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim were with a purpose. And the purpose was that there should be a revelation of Hashem so that we can understand who He is and what He can do. That was what the whole purpose of the Makos was, Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was all this big revelation from Hashem. If Hashem wanted to just free us, He could have just picked us up and plopped us down there to Israel. He didn't have to do all these miracles. The purpose of the miracles was to be a revelation, so we can all look and say, Hazeh, there is Hashem. We see Hashem's greatness, His actions, His power. That was the purpose of it all. So Nisan is HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, it's the first of the months, because it's the month where Hashem revealed Himself to the world. It's most significant because this is the month, if we want to know anything about Hashem, we reference the events of Nisan, so we do. It's just Mitzrayim. That's our reference point. Everything else comes from there. So the second point about Nisan is that it's the month of Nisan. The word Nisan itself contains the word Nisan inside of it. Nisan, Nisim is the same concept. Because the month of Nisan is about the Nisim, which occurred. That's what it's about. So that's his second point. Third point, Od Yirmos, Shechodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh. What's that? Wow, Mazel Tov. I'm touched.
We learned a couple of months
ago.
Better late than
Seder,
ever,
right? That's true. I'm talking about Seder, right? Keeping to your Seder, even if things are a little different. Mazel Tov, that's so exciting. It's today? Should we work today? That's so nice. Wow, Baruch Hashem. Very nice. I'm talking about Nisan right now, Pesach. So the third point, Od Yirmos, Ki Achor Zeh Lachem Rosh, it says that this month shall be for you the Rosh, Perash Shiyeh Yisro Kinui Bechinas HaRosh. Show you O Nivzim Mishvalim. In this one, besides the month being first, also in this month, he says, we became first. We became the chosen people in this month. So you could also read Chorosh HaZeh Lachem Rosh. This month, you became a Rosh. This is our most significant month, not only because we were freed and because we were redeemed, but because Hashem uplifted us, that we're no longer a downtrodden, and ashamed nation. We are a very proud nation to be chosen by Hashem. That all occurred in Nisan. So Nisan is the month where, number one, he says, Hashem saved us. So it's an important month that Hashem saved us and we became a nation. Number two, it's the month that we perceived Hashem through His miracles, Hazeh. And number three, it's the month where we now look back at Nisan and say, we are no longer downtrodden. No matter what happens to us, we are a high, holy, proud people because of Nisan. So this is all the significance of Nisan. And the last thing he says, Od Remez B'Teva Zeh, Zeh could also be a reference to, an allusion to, Ki Yeh Rosh L'chol Chadashim She'yud Beis K'mispar Zeh, that Zeh is a gematria of 12, and Nisan is the first of all 12 months. So that's another reference to the word Zeh. We see here a bunch of concepts to the importance of Nisan. Nisan is a very significant month, which we're about to enter into, and then we have to appreciate what the month is all about. So before we see the next handout, just we'll talk a little bit more. I always like to compare the months to what happens in nature, because the Jewish calendar really aligns with nature outside. The Yom Tovim, the events of the month, and what's happening outside on regular year, not this year, it's kind of weird, but on regular year, things kind of line up. So in Nisan, we became a people, we blossomed. In Nisan, nature starts blossoming, nature starts growing. Until now, when you're in the winter, nature is dormant. Nothing's happening outside. The trees have no leaves, there's no flowers, there's no fruits. And during those months, we don't have any Torah Yom Tovim. We have Hanukkah Permadur abundant. We have no Torah Yom Tovim during those months. It's a month where the Jew also is challenged with being a little bit, you know, dormant and a little bit dry. But when Nisan comes, nature blossoms, nature wakes up, and we wake up. And Hashem, as it were, wakes up. You know, like in the Megillah we read last week, you know, the king's sleep was aroused. So in Nisan, Hashem's miracles come out. Hashem is aroused. You know, Purim is kind of the beginning of it, leading into Nisan. And in Nisan, Hashem is aroused, and Hashem performs those miracles in Nisan. The parallels are so clear. Klai Yisrael blossoms, and the trees blossom. That's what it's about. The truth is, you know, the mild weather months are always better months for Klai Yisrael, such as, you know, Tishrei is fall, mild weather, Nisan is mild weather. And the more intense weather months, the winter months, like Teves and Shvat, or Av and Tammuz, are bad months for Klai Yisrael. Because we really roll with the seasons, and it really happens that way. In Nisan is when the days start getting longer than the nights. You know, until now, you know, you had the night, during the fall, the nights get longer, days get shorter, hit the solstice, then it starts reversing. But until now, the nights are still longer than the days. Soon we're going to hit the equinox, things are going to flip over. The light for us is always a symbol of Hashem's influence. Hashem is considered like the light. Torah's or Hashem provides the light. And when you have times of the year, we have more light than darkness, that's a symbol of Hashem's bracha and Hashem's clarity in the world. When things are darker rather than light, that's a symbol of confusion. So Hanukkah time is the festival of darkness. We have to have Hanukkah to help us find the light, but it's a dark time of the year. But Nisan is a time where finally we're hitting the spring and summer, where the days are longer than the nights, and it's a more of a clear time where we see Hashem's Hashkacha, we see Hashem's Chesed. That's Nisan. The other part of this is the following question. This is what I want to focus on tonight. You can look at the flow of the Yom Tovim in a mashal in the following way, and I'll show you my source for this. You know, in Nisan we were born. Pesach was when we were created as a nation. So that's Klai Yisrael in its infant and child state. On Shavuos, we're given the Torah. That's us achieving maturity. That's kind of like the bar mitzvah. You know, you're given responsibilities. That's Shavuos. Then you're given time to live up to the challenge, take the mitzvos, perform them, and that brings us to the cycle of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is where we look back, we say, you know, we had our difficulties, we did tshuva. And Sukkot is considered like, let's call it, you know, you're living happily ever after. Sukkot is the time where you're bonding with Hashem. Sukkot is the time where you say, Hashem, I did my job, let's celebrate together. That's Sukkot. It's not simple. Say no, you're in Sukkot with Hashem, you're bonding with Hashem. You take a very similar mashal also to like a Chasen and Kala. Chasen and Kala get engaged. It's Pesach, you know, everything's fresh. They're young, they don't know what they're getting into, they're excited, but they're clueless, you know? That's Chasen and Kala, that's Pesach. Shavuos is considered like a wedding. So you're married now, you get to live life together. Sukkot is when, you know, you've been through now the challenges of marriage, you've learned how to develop a love for one another, and Sukkot is the bonding. Sukkot, again, it's like Yichud, you're bonding together, you're one, that's Sukkot. It's very similar, Mashal. But the flow is like that. It goes from an infant stage to maturity to success, we'll call it. You know, it's the happily ever after at the end. Once you've handled the challenges, you've gotten to the final point. That's Sukkot. So when we look at Pesach, the approach has to be that we're looking at Klai Yisrael from the perspective of their youth, of their infant stage, their developing stage. And the Pasuk says, Zacharti lo chesed u'rayich. Hashem says, I remember the chesed of your youth. Lechtech achrei midbar, you follow me into the midbar. Hashem calls it our youth. This is our youth. When we went to the Midbar, we were young. We were mature as a nation at that point. So also in Nisan, nature is young. You know, the trees have blossoms. There's no fruit quite yet. There's nothing concrete. There's potential there. You know, youth means potential. No, a kid hasn't accomplished anything quite yet. But he's a lot of potential. There's so much he can do, but he hasn't done it quite yet. The trees right now have potential, unless they were killed by a little snow, but you know, the blossoms have potential to develop into fruit. But there's no fruit quite yet. There's nothing concrete quite yet. In the springtime, animals are out there giving birth to their young. You know, the birds are nesting in the springtime and laying their eggs. It's the time of year where you sense all the potential. So this is the feeling of Pesach and Nisan is to see Klal Yisrael like a child, in a very much a developing and infant-type stage. Now, as a total aside, and everyone always wonders, like, Pesach, we are, in a certain sense, so extreme with our care with chametz. Right? No other mitzvah put in so much effort. We're going to start cleaning our homes, every nook and cranny, over the next few weeks to get ready for Pesach. We're scrubbing, and we're washing, and we're vacuuming, and we're sweeping. And all for that, you know, if one crumb falls into your soup on Pesach, the whole soup is usher. There's no bittul. You know, when it comes during the year, we have bittul b'shishim, 1/60th, okay, you're allowed to eat it. If a piece of pork falls into your chon, it's okay, 1/60th, it's okay to have it. But on Pesach, one little crumb of bread falls in a big vat of chicken soup, it's all usher on Pesach. We go crazy with chametz. It's chayav kari. It's a very severe isser. And we always wonder why. But one of the deeper understandings is that when you have, like, say, a pregnant woman or a newborn baby, you're very careful with what you feed them and expose them to. Why? Because when the baby is very young and developing, it's very, very sensitive. And one little thing off in the baby's newborn stage or fetal stage can have ramifications that go throughout the entire life. Now, in a house, one little crack in the foundation can make the entire house unstable because of the foundation. The crack in the attic is not going to do that. The crack in the foundation will. So when you're talking about Pesach, Klal Yisrael is in its first little developing newborn stage. So any little thing which is considered bad for the neshama, we can't have on Pesach. Because we're very sensitive, we're very delicate, because we're little kids. The pregnant women are extremely careful of what they expose themselves to, because anything which goes into their body will affect the fetus. You have to be very, very careful what you do. Once the kid is developed, so you can handle certain things, we can't handle as a kid. You go into the newborn baby and wash your hands, be very careful, and that's like, you know, because, you know, a little germ, a little infection for a kid is much more severe than for an adult. And that's why we're so careful with it. So Pesach's time where we're considered kids on Pesach, and we're acting, you know, as Klal Yisrael in its youthful stage, then we have to be very careful with chametz. But one little crumb of chametz can impact us, because we're just developing right now. That's what we look at. So we have to look at Pesach as a time where we have a lot of potential as a nation and as individuals, but we haven't yet brought that potential out. So it's time to focus on Klal Yisrael in their youthful state. Now, a child is very, very ambitious, but he's not mature. And Klal Yisrael has that virtue of ambition in Nisan, and the Pesach is something to focus on. But we're also immature in a certain sense. So I want to discuss more of this idea of how the concept of being youthful, being like a child, really impacts Pesach. And the truth is also, we didn't have a Torah yet when Pesach occurred. In Yisrael Mitzrayim, we didn't have a Torah yet. So why did we deserve to be redeemed by Hashem? We didn't earn our keep. What did we deserve? We didn't do anything yet. We didn't deserve to be saved by Hashem. But it's like a kid. When a kid is born, did the kid earn being cared for by his parents? The kid didn't earn it. It's just that it's a chesed. No, this is what we do. It's our instinct. We love the child. Not because the kid earns it, but because we have a certain love for the kid and we care for the kid. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, why did Hashem come in and help us out? Did we earn it? Well, we had no mitzvahs to do. And it's the opposite. You know, we were doing a lot of averus. You know, we did avodah zarah, and we'd almost forgotten everything that our avos taught us. The Rambam says kemat katz, that almost the entire connection to Hashem that was developed by the avos cut off in Mitzrayim. We were very distant from Hashem. But Hashem still came in and helped us. Why? Because we're his children, and he cared for us, and it was out of chesed. Very similar to a parent caring for a child. As children get older, so then, you know, they grow, they develop, and they do things. And they could say that they start earning their keep in a certain sense as they get much older. But when they're still young, you do it out of love, because you care. That's why you do it. There's no other reason to care for a child. So, that's us at Pesach time. You know, you can think about the chassid and kala with the twinkle in their eyes, but but they haven't really accomplished much as a couple quite yet. They haven't built a home quite yet. That's what Pesach's about. There's an interesting Balat Torah. It's not in those sheets, but I'll share it with you. We know that in the very center of the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, was the Aron. And on top of the Aron was the Kaporos, was the covering. And then the Kaporos was Kruvim. So what are Kruvim? So the Gemara says that the word Kruvim comes, so in English they would say they're cherubs. But the Gemara says that Kruvim are Kiravya in Aramaic. Kiravya means like a child. And the Kruvim had baby faces. There's a male and a female, and then baby faces. That's the Gemara says. So it's very strange. In the center of the Mishkan, the focal point of all Klal Yisrael was two little baby faces. That's what was there. Very funny thing. So the Balat Torah in Chumash, when the Kruvim are discussed, he says, he quotes one pasuk from Hosea. And he says, what's the idea? He says, Kinar Yisrael v'ohavehu. It's a pasuk in Hosea. The pasuk says that Klal Yisrael is a na'ar. Klal Yisrael is a child. V'ohavehu, and I love him. Mitzrayim karasi livni. This is the 11th parak of Hosea, the first pasuk. And from Mitzrayim, I call to my son. So Hashem says that I love Klal Yisrael, for they are a na'ar, for they are a child. And I call to my son in Mitzrayim. So it's this concept, that the center point of the Mishkan extends for this concept of Hashem loving us in our childlike state. That's what's there in the center of the Mishkan. And we have to understand what that means, because, you know, the truth is, you call somebody childish, it's an insult. And the word na'ar, which is used here as a compliment, is used in another place in Chumash as seemingly as an insult as well. It says about Yosef, Parshas V'yeshev, it says that Yosef, Hunar es b'nei Bilhah es b'nei Zilpah neshei Aviv, that Yosef was a nar with the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. So all the Mefarshim over there explain that Yosef was acting immature. He was acting in a way which was, he didn't understand what his actions he was doing, because he was acting childlike. So nar is used in a negative sense. You know, sometimes a Rebbe gets up and will give a very, very powerful Musar Shmuz. And they'll use the term "yunar," and that means "you fool." That's what that means. "Yunar," you fool. So it seems like a negative thing to be called a nar. But yet, it says in the pasuk, "Yunar Yisrael Aveo," Hashem loves us when we are a nar, when we are a child. And the center of the Mishkan stood for Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, and it was symbolized by two children. And the Baal Torah says, "Because Nar Yisrael Aveo." So I want to understand what are some of the virtues of this childlike attitude. And why is that such a central point of the Mishkan, and why is that such a focus on Pesach? And on Pesach, you know, we understand that Seder is about children in many ways, which we'll talk about. Not that it's only an obligation upon children, but the way that's presented to us by the Torah is very much focused on children. So we'll talk about that in a little while. But I want to look at the other handout I gave here. This is Ori Cheskel. Ori Cheskel was Rav Cheskel Levenstein, who was the Mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva. And he writes about this concept of Nar Yisrael V'Aveihu. So he says, I bracket it off in the bottom there. Kinar Yisrael v'Aveihu. It says that Klal Yisrael is a na'ar, and I love him. Hagon v'Shol Solanter him avar b'ish Yisrael margish atzmo kinar. So V'Shol Solanter, he said that when Klal Yisrael feels like a child, which means what? Dehainu shenimtza b'matzav shel islamdus v'chinuch kinar. This is the big point he's making. That one of the great virtues of children is that they're in a growth stage, constantly growing. We never want to have the feeling that we're finished products. That I know everything I have to know. I've accomplished everything I can accomplish. I'm a done deal. We never want to think that way. We can always be growing. Every Jew has ways they can grow in serving Hashem. And one of the great virtues of children is that they're always in a state of growth. Because children understand that they have a long way to go. They're children, they're not adults, they don't know a lot, they have to learn. Adults lose that ambition, that attitude, that excitement about learning, but we should have that as well. So we're in that state. If we're constantly in a state of growth, of development, of trying to become better, so that evokes Hashem's love. But if we don't act in the way that we're trying to train ourselves to grow, rather we just, you know, think that we're finished products, it's inappropriate. That's wrong. That we have to be always in a state of learning and growth. The author of Kelm Zal Hayamevi Alzeh Divrei Baal HaTorim. The author of Kelm used to quote the Baal HaTorim on this. The Vir Lashon of Sisa Shikru, like it says about the Kruvim, like we just quoted before, Keravya Kinar Shrov Aveyo, that the Kruvim are like a child, because Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, and they are like a child. HaKruvim Shem Makom HaKaporis, the Kruvim is on the Kaporis. Shoshan is the Shechina, and the Shechina dwells the Kaporis. You want to know where is the focal point of the Shechina in the Mishkan of Issa Mikdash? It's on that point, on the Kaporis. Hayavitsuras. Hayavitsuras. Nar. They were in the image of a child. Vetam lakach. If you want the Shekhinah to dwell upon you, you have to constantly say, I'm in a state of growth. I know I'm not perfect. I know I have a lot to do. Let's train ourselves. If we think that we know it all, we've attained it all, we're perfect, if we don't try to grow, so the Shekhinah doesn't dwell on that person. And it's incredible to think that in our days, Bachar Tzarek, a young kid who's 18 years old, he suddenly thinks he's an adult and he's mature. He thinks he's missing nothing. He knows it all. He's done it all. He's got everything under control. He says 18. We could say maybe 13 or 14. Even kids think they know everything at a certain point. You know, they think they got all under control, but it's not true. And then he makes an interesting point. Mazaya Sava Mavirus, the author of Kelm, then would explain the Chacham Musker B'Chazal, Talmid Lashon Talmid Chacham. We always use the phrase Talmid Chacham, which literally means a student of a wise man. Well, why, he's a wise man. Why is he a student of a wise man? Why is it Talmid? He should be a Chacham. It's funny, you look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shwita, who's probably, you know, almost 100 years old, respected God of Ador, and we call him, he's a Talmid Chacham. He's a wise student. He's a student, I mean, he's a sage. What's the idea of Talmud Chacham? Ki Chacham Amiti Zeh HaMargish V'choshev Atzmo K'talmud V'adayin Shuv L'Schar L'Schadim. The point is that because a true Chacham knows that he's really a student, he always has more to learn and more to grow. That's the hallmark of a great person, is that he doesn't think, oh, I'm perfect, I know it all. He's constantly improving, constantly doing, constantly trying to become better and better, know more and more and more. You know, Esav, one of the meanings of Esav's name is that he was already asui. He was complete. He looked complete and he felt complete. Yaakov, you know, is a future tense. Yaakov, the Yud, is a future. Yaakov has a future. He keeps on trying to attain more and grow more and do more. If you observe the Indian avodas and midos, the tikkunan is the same thing as midos. It's learning. It's midos. That there's always more to fix and more to improve. The olam tzarich l'chanechus. We have to be constantly educating ourselves. Because we have our midos when we're kids. And you really can't uproot midos. Midos make us tick. We need our midos. We have to always perfect our midos more and more and more. Just for lack of time, I'm just going to skip the paragraph there. But if you skip to the bottom, he says, he says the problem is that as we mature, we become adults, we lose out on our attitudes of growth, and we think we know it all. What's the problem? We should have the attitude of a child. The problem is we lose out on what he calls the koch hashmia, the ability to listen. This is the major trait, characteristic, that defines young children that are ready to hear and learn. And they'll receive instructions, musar, guidance from others. Because children understand that through listening and learning, they'll grow. But the adult thinks he knows it all, doesn't want to hear it anymore, so he tunes everything out. And there's two reasons why. The first reason is one reason is because our desires, our passions, our lusts, they clog our ears. We don't want to hear the message, you know? If I listen to this, I have to change. I like what I'm doing. I'm enjoying my life right now. Changing, growing means I have to change what I'm doing. But I'm happy with what I'm doing. So I tune everything else out because I don't want to change. So we clog our ears. That's one problem. And additionally, nosafakach become a gaiva manas mitol lekabelish mamizosa. We become arrogant. I'm supposed to. I'm 84 years old. I've been through it all. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I'm supposed to this kid over here. I know it all. I've done it all. I've experienced. I mean, that's the attitude people have sometimes. So our arrogance, because we think we should know it all, because we're older, and the fact that we're set in our ways, don't want to change. Those drive out the ability to hear, and make us think that we're finished products, and therefore we don't try to grow. But Naisova Aveyu is that Hashem says, "I love you when you're in a state of growth, and as long as you're in a state of growth, I show you my love." The next paragraph he says, he's always amazed in his yeshiva, that in the beginning of the Zman, you have these young kids that come to the yeshiva, and they seem to grow by leaps and bounds so quickly. And the older boys who've been in the yeshiva for several years, who should be growing as well, don't grow in the same growth rate, same pace. And he says, why is that? Because the older boys think they know it all. So even though they're trying, they're not listening close enough. They're not taking in the information because they think they already have been there, I've done that. The younger boys come in with the ambition because they know we're young, we're new, we're fresh. You want to hear what everyone has to say, and they grow very, very quickly. That's what he explains over here. But it's a very important point. So he says, Narishova Avehu, the center point of the Mishkan, the concept of children, is that they're always in a growth mode. They want to grow, they want to develop, they want to change. And just to add in, you know, when you have this attitude, that helps you move past mistakes. You know, for instance, let's say I came home and I find my 3-year-old has colored all over the walls the permanent marker, you know? So you're annoyed with it, but you forgive her. Why? Because she's 3. What does she know? She's learning. She's growing. If I came home and my 12-year-old did it, I'd be quite upset. Why? Because she knows better. So in that area, we hope he's already learned it and doesn't need to grow anymore in that area. You know, certain areas you hope you've already moved past. But the big difference is Hashem sees us. Hashem says, I know you're growing. I know you're trying. I know you're learning more. So I can forgive your mistakes because you're in a growth mode. But if you think that you're a completed product and then you're making the same mistakes, Hashem says, well, you're supposed to know better. You told me you know better. You think you're done. So Hashem gets upset with us in that way. The Narsha Aveyu says that I love you when you're in a growth mode and I can move past your mistakes because you're still working on it. You're still growing. Your kid is still growing, still working on it. Other virtues of kids, and this all relates to Pesach in a minute. You know, kids have what we call the ability to absorb information as a kid is very incredible. The Mishnah says in Avos, you know, in Odome, if you have a clean paper to an erased paper to a dirty paper, kids absorb information so quickly. Kids are very good in languages because they just pick things right up. Kids, I would think, I don't know if it's worth it done, if an adult sat in school at age 40, they would not learn anything nearly as quickly as kids do at age 10. Because kids just pick up things very, very quick. They absorb, they take it all in, they can listen, like we said before, they have that. There's something called girsa de yankasa. Gemara talks about information you received as a kid, it sticks with you. It makes an impression upon you. For better or for worse. Axioms we were taught as children are with us no matter what. And even things you, unfortunately, were taught wrong as a kid, they still stick with you. You might know it's wrong, but still back in your head. You know, let's take a silly example. You know, let's say you had some teacher in Hebrew school when you were 5 who taught you about the story of Abraham. And she taught you a wrong fact. So as you learn more, you understand that wasn't the right fact in that story. But everything in the story, you always go back to that fact once again, because your teacher taught it to you when you were 5. Then you tell yourself, oh no, it's wrong. But it's always there, it never leaves you. Chazal says, Shibush came into all. Once a mistake was in your head, it's very hard to take it out of your head. So kids absorb when they're a kid. But on the other hand, things kids absorb, proper values, proper information, is really kids, sticks with them. It makes an impression, it stays with them. The basic axioms of a human being are really built up very much when they're kids. It's very hard to change those because that was what your parents taught you as a child. That's girsa deyankasa. It's very hard for an adult to change their axioms of life. It's very difficult to do because this is what you've lived with for all these years. Kids have a tremendous ambition and excitement about life, about growth, about learning, all sorts of things. They know there's so much to accomplish. I have the world to conquer, so much to do. That's a kid. So Pesach, Nisan in general, Pesach, and then the Seder in particular, we mark Klal Yisrael as kids. Chesed Urayach. The chesed that we did for Hashem as kids. And it's an amazing thing that the Torah words the mitzvah of the Seder. Sibras Mitzrayim. Tell the story of Yitzis Mitzrayim. The wording of the Torah is Vigadta Levincha. Now, on a level, that's inaccurate. Because if someone has no children there, or has no children at all, or is by themselves Chas V'Shalom on Pesach, we should never be that way. But you still have an obligation to tell the story, even to yourself. If your Seder is all adults, you tell it to each other. If just you and your wife, you tell it to your wife. But there's no obligation of having a kid at a Seder. But the Torah says the mitzvah is called Vigadta Levincha, speak to the children. That's what the mitzvah is called. But in halacha, that's not true. The mitzvah is even to yourself. The you know, this in the Haggadah, you have the famous four sons, which are all based on Pesukim. And so much about the Seder is worded and focused around kids. Look at the Mishnayos, Kan HaBen Shol Aviv. Here the child asks the father the questions, Manishtana. Again, but halachically, if he's not there, someone else asks the questions. You don't need a kid to be there. But yet, the story and everything else about the Seder is very much described based on kids. So I like to say the following. I always like to say that the idea of this is that on Pesach night, we're supposed to tap into the kid within ourselves. Find the kid within ourselves. You got to the Vincha means speak to the kid in yourself. I mean, all things we just said, you know, when you have the Seder and you're taking in all the different fundamental ideas of Yitzchus Mitzrayim, Hashem's relation, all the miracles which occurred. So our goal is not just to recite a story. Our goal is to picture a kid. You take in the information with excitement. You're ambitious to be able to fulfill your mitzvos and to bring out what you can from the story. You make it part of your axioms and yourself, gifts of the Yakasa. You're doing it in order to grow. You listen. Like, yours don't get clogged. You actually listen to the information and get the lessons out of it. If you approach the Seder like a kid, you know, you understand that I'm here as with a growth mode. And the blossoms outside in Nisan for me are a symbol that I have so much I can accomplish with this. And you should approach the Seder very much like a kid. Because we're talking about the foundations of used to be a Jew. And we can always improve our foundations. We can always, you know, reassess. We can learn more. We can make them stronger. We can make them more, you know, we can understand the complexities of it much better. There's much more we can do. But if we approach it, if we say, this is my, you know, I'm 76 years old, I've done 76 theaters in my life, I know the script, I've done it before, what am I supposed to gain from this? You know? Okay, so then the theaters become, you know, another routine, and you don't gain anything from it. My mother every year, she always thinks, she always tells me, she's thinking in her head, how many seders has she had in her lifetime? You know, like you multiply it by two, if you're in Chutzlar, it's a lot of seders, you know? And you hit the same God every single time. But you can't approach it that way. You have to approach it that I've been to all these seders, but each one is new and fresh, and there's new information over here, and I can take it in. You know, so that should be our approach to the seder, and that's the purpose of the seder. The purpose of the seder is that there's lessons to be pulled out of the seder. And these aren't lessons, these aren't, it's not just like I have a good Dvar Torah to share, but it's like these are the things that are supposed to make me into a Jew. These are the things that are supposed to be my axioms of life, because I'm talking about the most fundamental ideas of Yiddishkeit that are out there. This is the only story we sit down yearly and have to share with each other. There's no other obligation to do that in Halakha besides the Seder. It's such an important story because it's so fundamental, we have to share it that way. So if we say, I know it, I've done it a million times, nothing more you can tell me, I know all the different Torah about the Seder, I've read all the books, okay, so then you walk away from Seder not gaining anything. But look at the kids at the Seder, you know, and the kids are so excited, there's so much to share, so much to take in. And that's what we have to be as well, to say. We got to the Vincha, speak to the kids ourselves. That's what it is.
Well, the Haggadah is the same every year, but we're different every year. So.
Right. So from our new stage in life, we should relate to the information differently. Yeah, correct. I guess the Megillah also. That's not really story time. That's a Kriya. Shul is very different. The only story you have a chiv to share story time with someone is... You're right, it's another time we do share a story. Publicly. They want us to hear it, right. But the idea of Sipur, the mitzvah here is called Sipur. It's actually storytelling. But the point is not that I'm just entertaining you with the story. The point is that there's lessons to be drawn from the story. That's the point. So the Seder should give us, and also we should leave the Seder with a newfound excitement, newfound ambition to grow, newfound love for Hashem. Many of the minug that after the Seder they read Shir HaShir. I'm not sure who has the strength and energy at that point to read Shir HaShir. But all that good is happening in the back. Some say Shir HaShir over here. I've never done it. What?
Svarnim
do it. Right.
Oh, this is the part you've been waiting for all night.
Uh-huh. But the concept is, you know, Shir HaShir, it says Shlomo Melech wrote three different Svarim. He wrote Mishlei Shir Sherman Kohelis. He wrote Shir Sherman in his youth. He wrote Mishlei in his middle age, and he wrote Kohelis in his senior years. That's what Chazal tell us. Shir Sherman is a song of youth, or Shlomo Melech's youth, and it's a song of love. And the feeling after the Seder should be this feeling, a youthful, loving feeling, an exciting feeling. You know, we have the twinkle in our eye, like Chasson and Kalo, ready to serve Hashem, you know, with excitement. And then we're approaching life differently because we've had our Seder. It's a song of Ava, that's what it is. That's what Shir Hashirim is. Nar Yisrael, when you read Shir Hashirim, you can sense Nar Yisrael Aveyu, that Klai Yisrael is a child, and I love him. You can sense that in Shir Hashirim. The Shir Hashirim is a mashal describing Hashem and Klai Yisrael's love for one another. And it's like the exciting love, like we said, the Chasson and Kala, the youthful love, the youthful excitement, that's what it is. Yeah, it's all there, right. Yeah, the blossoms are there. Yeah, so exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah, this Simmer is a perfect blossom. Right, exactly. Very good. Initzu Rimonim, you know, have the Rimonim blossom quite yet? You know, all these something like that. So that's what Shir Hashirim is about. And that, so you leave the Seder, and that's the feeling we should have. We have the Shir Hashirim feeling of we have a youthful excitement, we have an ambition. And whether you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 30, 40, whatever age a person is, we have so much more to do, so much more we can accomplish. We have potential to take to reality. Moshe Rabbeinu, 119, is still accomplishing. You know, he has still more to do. We all have potential within, but it's not yet developed. And this is the time of year we should focus on that potential, try to develop it. That's what Pesach is all about. So I think we approach the Seder with this attitude of Narus, Naisro V'Aveihu. I think we would pull so much more out of it than approaching it with the attitude that I've done this a million times. So the lesson really comes from Nisan itself is this concept. Nisan is the world in a youthful state of spring. The spring is a youthful state of the world. You know, everything outside is fresh, babies being born, flowers blossoming, fruits just starting to develop, birds nesting, that's all outside. And on the inside, Klal Yisrael is becoming Hashem's nation, in terms of the historical sense. We are a youthful nation, and therefore we approach Pesach with youthful excitement and exuberance as we should. And these concepts should then become axioms within ourselves, very similar to a child sitting in school, that what he learns as a kid, whether he realizes it or not, that's making a huge impression upon him. And everything he does the rest of his life very much is influenced by what happened when he was a kid in the classroom. So Pesach, you can look at your Seder, I'm a kid sitting in a classroom right now. And even if you're leading the Seder, you're teaching everyone else still, but you're talking to the kid yourself. That's what we said. You got to the Vincha, to the kid yourself, and making sure you take all that information in a way which is going to excite you, create the ambition, bring out the potential, and be fresh. That's really our major goal on Pesach night.